Hello and welcome to The Face of Pro-Life. Today I am speaking with Eileen Bianchini, who is the chairperson of both the Connecticut Right to Life and the Gospel for Life Society. Thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm very happy to be here.
And Eileen, I know you're well-versed in all topics pro-life, but today we'd like to talk a little bit about a physician-assisted suicide and what our viewers really need to know about physician-assisted suicide here in the state of Connecticut and as well as in their country. So what's going on with this legislation?
As the chairperson of both these organizations, one of the things we wanted to accomplish was to give viewers a very high level as to what is happening with assisted suicide, not only in Connecticut, but also across the nation. Assisted suicide has been being promoted for numbers of years, since about 1960s, not always called assisted suicide. And what we want to do is make everyone aware of it and how it's being promoted today, and also what the consequences of it could be, and how of a loophole in the law, in the federal law, that could cause it to become a law across all states in the United States. And so if we're hoping by making everyone aware, we would not be susceptible and victims of this propaganda and this campaign. So
So currently there are a few states that have physician-assisted suicide as their laws. And both, I know Oregon and Washington State both voted as a state, you know, that the people have had a referendum and accepted physician-assisted suicide. Is there any other state that has physician-assisted suicide?
Right now it's Oregon and Washington and Montana. And a lot of people think that in order to make it a federal law by the Supreme Court, that you would have to have a consensus of a majority of states, and that's wrong. So there is a great danger there, and I wanted to explain what it is.
Oh, so what is that danger?
But first, what I'd like to explain is how it's being promoted and sold to the American public. It's being sold to doctors and nurses and the medical industry through what's called a living will. And it's being sold to the American public through propaganda. And in both cases, they've been very successful. Already we have many people, the majority of people in the United States, who are thinking or wondering about what are their rights. Do they have the right to determine when to die, mm-hmm. or how to die, if they have a terminal illness, mm-hmm. if they are in great pain, if they have a disability, etc. But the fact of the matter is, it's all an illusion. No one has the right to decide when they're going to die,
right.
or how to die. The Supreme Court in 1997, based on two cases, ruled that it is illegal. It is not supported by the federal constitution to do assisted suicide. Mm-hmm. It is against the law.
The best part is that, you know, our rights and our founding fathers realized this unquestionably. Our rights do not come from our government. Our rights come from God. And obviously, a right to die is not something that we know, thou shalt not kill, is already
right.
explicitly explained to us by God that is not an option. And so there is no right to die.
Yes, and one of the points I want to make here today is that there is no right to die. God does not give that to us. God holds that for himself.
Right.
And we, as Catholics and Christians, need to fight any process or any program or campaign that's happening, mm-hmm. or seems to be stirring up that would take the decision of who dies and when from God and put it in the hands of man.
Yeah.
It's our responsibility not to let that happen.
Because
so
only
informed.
Man is going to
right.
take advantage and abuse that, right, given right. the opportunity.
Because we're not perfect, right. and we can make mistakes, and there are vulnerabilities. And so what I'd like to, the Catholic Exchange gives a very good overview of how this began. In 1938, an organization was formed. It's called the Euthanasia Association, and the Euthanasia Society. And actually, I think I got it wrong. It's the Euthanasia Society of America. And it was formed to promote the ability to kill. And that is to kill people who voluntarily want to die, or to kill people who involuntarily, do not voluntarily want to die, but should, according to this organization, this society, feel this society feels should die because they have severe terminal illness or disabilities or mental incapacities, etc., and they are not useful to society. Mm-hmm. So they consider this to be a mercy killing. And so they went about creating a campaign to convince the American public, the medical industry, and legislators that this should be something that should become controlled by the government.
Wow.
And the campaign has actually been very successful. The reason being, we can see that many people are questioning what their rights are in these areas and are considering it. One of the ways which they created a euthanasia education council, and that was created in 1967. And the purpose was to educate the public that they don't have to put up with this. They can choose to die. Now, how many times have you talked with relatives or friends or people and they give that attitude, oh, if I'm dying, right. and the end of my life, I'm at the end of my life, I don't want all those tubes. Yeah, yeah. I don't have to put up with that.
I don't want to live like that.
They don't realize that those very words were put into their heads.
Right.
That through the years, through the decades, they've actually been brainwashed.
Yeah. Well, and anybody, I mean, logically, no one would choose to, you know, live with a disability. No one would choose to, you know, want a chronic illness. But when you're faced with these things, you have to learn to face them gracefully and accept, you know, your position, you know, the things that happen to you. And just saying that, oh, well, you know, I wouldn't want to live like that. It puts, like you said, it puts it in their mind that they'd want to be killed.
Yeah. And it's very interesting. It's very insidious how this starts. You know, you've heard about the slippery slope.
Wow, yeah.
The idea that I don't have to put up with this starts with little things. My husband is not perfect. Mm. I don't have to put up with this. My parents are not perfect. I don't have to put up with this. I don't have to take care of them. They're a pain in the neck, or they're too cranky. I don't want to deal with that. So where do we stop?
Yeah, yeah.
And now I don't have to continue living. I don't have to put up with this because I'm in pain. I had an aneurysm about, you know, when I was in my 30s.
Wow.
Behind my right eye. And I have to tell you, I want to get the word out there. There's not very much pain that's more than an aneurysm. When doctors described the pain to my husband, they said it's like you were shot with a shotgun in your head.
Wow.
And I had to stay for 7 days with that aneurysm while the blood coagulated or did what it was supposed to do. And they could have given me morphine so that I would have been totally out. And I really kept the morphine to a minimum. I took some, but not. I didn't want to be out. I didn't want it to be unconscious. And I bared the pain for the 7 days and was actually, I was a teacher and I was teaching students, was teaching about Jesus. And by the way, if any of my students from California, if this goes on Gloria TV and any of you guys get to see me, please call me. I'd love to talk to you. But I was actually able to get the word out to them that they were praying wrong for me. They should not be praying for Eileen to live, that they should be praying for God's will to be done. Exactly. And so what we find, and I experienced, and I can talk from experience, is that in your very last days, and those I thought were my last days because my chances of living were very small, you have such a closeness to God, mm-hmm. and you have such a strength and power about you. I think it's one of the greatest experiences in your life. Mm-hmm. And it could be, and it could be very peaceful. Pain, as much pain as I was at great peace because I knew I was one with God and I knew I was doing the godly mm-hmm. thing. I was taking care of my students. So why would we want to rob people of this? Mm-hmm. My father did the same thing. My father had pancreatic cancer wow. and opted not to have a lot of morphine so that he could stay conscious.
Right.
And in that time, he got to tell my mother how much he loved her. He got to tell me a story the way he used to when I was a little girl.
Yeah.
He got
yeah.
to go back and have confession and do the things, all the things that he needed to do, which he would not have been able to do if he was unconscious, taking the
Absolutely.
Morphine.
Yeah.
Or if he had opted for assisted suicide.
An overdose, yeah.
Right.
Well, my mom's cousin was the same way. She was dying of breast cancer, and she refused the powerful painkillers because she wanted to be, cognizant of things around her. And, the nurses kept coming in, and they were like, they couldn't understand, how much life she had in her. My mom was playing cards with her, and they were talking about all the old times they had when they were kids. And it was just a special, special time. And here, she knew she was dying. She was in incredible pain. And yet, this is what dying with dignity is all about.
Absolutely.
Not being unconscious, not being overdosed, just letting God take his course.
And it's amazing how God gives you the graces that you can cope. So we need to
trust God. If you're open to him, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. And be children of God. We are children of God. He will take care of us just his way. He takes care of the flowers and the birds and some all the things we've been told when we were children. But it's really, really true. The other thing that this propaganda campaign is doing is it's introduced what they call living will.
Mm-hmm. And oh, you living, hear it all the time.
Yeah. The living will sounds like a very innocent thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just a document. But I'm a marketing person. I come from the computer industry. And I know how you can take a document and use it as a selling tool or a persuasion tool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what the living will was designed by this organization to do.
Wow.
It was designed that when the doctors use the living will and talk to patients about their choices in the living will, or representatives of doctors or nurses or anyone on the medical staff, that they begin to realize that these human beings, these patients, have some depression. They have some fears about pain.
Who doesn't?
Vulnerable in certain areas. Right, exactly. Who doesn't? And they begin to get educated as to the negative side of life, that these patients have these conditions. Oh, they're very concerned about being incontinent, that they don't like the idea that they can't trust themselves anymore.
Right. Or someone has take them to the bathroom
I know. So that all combined with the propaganda leads the people in the medical industry, and many of them do believe that it is okay to do assisted suicide.
Mm.
So even though assisted suicide is not legal in all the states in the United States, it often happens in various ways because of this propaganda campaigns that have been going on for a number of decades. So the doctors are becoming brainwashed, and so are the legislators. Mm-hmm. And you see, if you talk to legislators, many of them believe that it's okay.
And it's true, a lot of people in the end stages will be given an overdose of morphine, as to, kill the pain. But they know darn well they're not going to survive the morphine.
Right. Dr. Paul Brine, who has been on this show, has been talking to, he's one of my consultants and advisors, and he explained to me something I didn't realize, and I bet a lot of people don't know, is that when you are given too much morphine too quickly, it will serve to restrict coughing. And when you restrict coughing, the end result is pneumonia and heart failure. Said, like day follows night, he said, inevitably. So if you want to cause pneumonia and heart failure.
Oh, and how many of our relatives, you know, elderly relatives have, you know, gotten pneumonia in the hospital?
Right.
Right. I know too many to count.
So what this is for everyone, I hope, is like a heads up. This is not innocent. This is very dangerous. Some of the propaganda, we don't have a very short of time here today, but just let me cover some words that are used to give you an idea. The word euthanasia. The word euthanasia means good death. And so when they talk about assisted suicide, they talk about a good death. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is it's not any good death. As Dr. Paul Byrne says, it's an imposed death.
Mm-hmm.
Most people who are susceptible to assisted suicide are depressed or are fearful of the pain that will come towards the end of their life or towards the end of their terminal illness or the condition that they have.
Or they're pressured or vulnerable to pressure from their family who doesn't have the best interest in their heart.
That's right. Or they've been neglected by their family.
Mm-hmm.
So what needs to happen is these people, they need to be treated for their depression. The family needs to be talked to. I mean, families need to be talked to in a way to be made to realize that they are responsible for their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
They can't just leave them and abandon them in a nursing home or hospice. That's not the way for a Christian or a Catholic
Mm-mm.
to behave.
Mm-mm. Especially a parent who, you know, raised you and brought you into this world. You know, I mean, that you really do owe our relatives more.
Absolutely. And the thing is, nobody's telling them that, you know. The American people are absolutely wonderful. We humans are great. If somebody calls us on something that we're doing wrong and says, hey, did you realize?
Right.
We fix it. But nobody's telling these people. He's letting them abandon their loved ones. And everyone says, well, it's okay.
Yeah.
Not okay.
They're dying with dignity.
Yeah. And so that's the way. A good death. Oh, by the way, so as Dr. Paul Byrne pointed out, it's imposed death because when you don't treat the suicidal tendencies, when you don't treat the depression, when you don't educate them on pain, when you don't talk to the family, that is the sin of omission.
Right, right.
Then you are letting them die.
Mm-hmm.
That's imposed death.
Mm-hmm.
Another way of killing.
That's on us, not on them.
That's right.
Them.
It's a way of killing. Okay. And the other is another word or phrase is die with dignity or death with dignity. And we've talked about that. So does that mean that a person who is in severe pain, maybe even breathing in pain, as I was with my aneurysm, or drugged or incontinent, that if they opt not to go the way of assisted suicide, that they don't have any dignity?
Right. They're not, yeah.
Yeah. That's.
It's the opposite.
Yeah, I know. And isn't the devil the great liar? Another one is quality of life. Yeah, and as Father Provone says, well, who determines that? Yeah, what is it? Is it your IQ, your usefulness in society, your physical attributes, the fact that you're a beautiful person?
Or how much money you have?
Yeah, right. Now, the important thing to realize is that the bottom line here, the value of assisted suicide to these groups is cost containment.
Mm.
It's the elimination of the weak in our society and cost containment. Well, this did not go over very, it's not very popular with the American public, with the medical association or legislators. So they've kind of changed the terminology and are remarketing it.
Mm.
Now, on a national level, it's called ration treatment. In Oregon, it's called ration treatment. And in Oregon, you can Google this. There are people like Barbara Wagner who had cancer, and she was told that they would no longer pay for her treatments, but that she could take a pill and commit assisted suicide. So it's Barbara Wagner. Another one is Randy Stroop, spelled STROUP.
You know, that's the scary thing when you think about it. You know, if physician-assisted suicide is accepted and it's a social moray that's accepted, you can already see that this is something that people are going to be expected to accept for themselves.
Right.
Not just if they want to. It's going to be, well, your care costs too much. Or your family, you know, you're a burden to your family. You know, you need to take this pill and you know, die with dignity so that everyone else can, you know, go on living free and happy. I mean, that's really scary, you know, when you think that's really what's going to happen. And it's not, like screaming at the wind. I mean, this is really, you can already see it's
real.
Happening.
You can Google these people. And in Connecticut, we have a new health care plan called Sustenant, and ration treatment will be part of that, too. And this is real. This has already been passed.
And that's why they're trying to push physician-assisted suicide in Connecticut.
Yeah. Now, what I wanted to point out is that this promotion of assisted suicide sounds like it's a groundswell. Sounds like there's so many people who are for it. It's a given. It's a movement. It's a trend. But the fact of the matter is that in most of the states in the United States, there have been many legislative measures that have failed. Like, for example, in Hawaii, 26. In Michigan, 4. In Rhode Island, 6. In Arizona, 9. In California, 6.
These are
6.
All attempts to get it passed.
And failed. In
wow.
other words, legislated the people.
Wow.
And the doctors said, no, we don't want it. So the only states that fell for it, that buckled under, were Oregon, Washington, and Montana. And I'm hoping Connecticut will not. Connecticut is currently being sued by a couple of doctors to make assisted suicide legal. There is a loophole in the federal law that says that could make it happen across all the states. And the loophole is this. It's called consensus. If you have a number of states, you don't have to have a lot, only a handful, a number of states, and if in all of the other states the laws against assisted suicide are loose, then the opponents who are pushing assisted suicide in the United States can go to the Supreme Court and say, even though you said it's illegal in 1997, we want you to revisit it and open the case on it again. And they can do that. And if they open it and they decide it's legal, it will be made legal right across all of the United States.
Just like abortion was.
Right. So we need to stop this. You need to open your eyes, write your legislators, and start fighting this with mm-hmm. your doctors or anyone else. Tell people that you talk to. Start on a little scale. Lobbying is, it starts with your family, as everything does. Mm-hmm. Tell when you hear your family members say, I don't have to put up with that. You tell them, yes, you do. You're a human. You have to put up with this. This is not heaven. This is earth. Mm-hmm. That's it. There's things we have to put up with, we have to do, that we don't like. Inconveniences. We have to mold our life to be able to accept these things. You know the way you go with a punch? You have to be able to accept the hardships mm-hmm. of the life.
And nobody wants to end up in pain and all these things. But once you are put in that situation, many times people, like you say, receive the grace from God to deal with it. And they might have had, having a living will, be forced into giving up because they've made the decision before they were in that situation.
Right.
And that's really a scary proposition.
Scary.
Now, one of the things we can do in Connecticut is all of our, at this point, they're trying to push the physician-assisted suicide back into the legislature. Is this
yes.
true? So one of the things we can do, and we should do, is call up the people who are running for our state representative and state senators and ask them where they stand on this.
Absolutely.
This is a great litmus test right here, right now.
We need to do this.
We really need to find out
yes.
who is for and who is against physician-assisted suicide and not elect the ones that would push this through in Connecticut.
Yes.
This is something we really can do as pro-life people. A lot of times, you know, we say we don't really need to have state, you know, our state representatives be pro-life because they don't often see, you know, different issues. But this is definitely an issue that we need to stand up
for. And the thing is that a lot of young people or middle-aged people say, well, it doesn't pertain to me. It's not my issue. And maybe they don't have elder parents that they have to deal with. But the fact is that it could be your issue any moment. None of us knows what's in store for us. I have a friend who had a cousin, only 40 years old, in a car accident, in a coma. And the hospital, now this is in a rich part of Westchester, New York, in a rich hospital, told the family that in 10 days, if she didn't come out of the coma, they would have to pull the plug. And they did.
Wow.
Now this girl did not have, we want to warn you again, this is heads up, to protect yourself, even if assisted suicide is not made legal. It's done anyway. So you need to have a number of two items. You need to have an advance directive, not the living will, but one like a different kind of advance directive.
A will
directive.
To live.
And so there are a number that are good and that we would recommend. And the other is a durable power of attorney for health concerns. Now, let me just give you the names and telephone numbers of the living wills that are good. There's one that is put out by the International Task Force, and the number to call is 1-800-958-5678. Call and find out about that one. It's really great, and it's international. The other one is by the Priests for Life and Father Prevone, and it's actually, you can find it at the National Right to Life website. And the third one, which is very good, is the American Life League. The number is 1-703-659-7111. It's absolutely terrific. And with that, I want to say thank you for being here.
Thank you for joining us today. And thank you for joining us. We hope that you've learned something. Make sure that the state representative and senators that you elect this year are pro-life and will stand up against physician-assisted suicide. And the next time you look in the mirror, you realize yours too is the face of pro-life. Join us again next time.